The profession most likely to cheat at work, and this item should you be washing your hair with it. All of that coming up for you. On The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. There has been no let-up in the shelling of Gaza. Israel says it's attacked hundreds of Hamas hideouts and killed dozens of militants over the weekend. Officials say the targets include a missile battery near a university. Here's correspondent Cammy McCormick.
The National Security Council's John Kirby on CBS Mornings asked about whether the U.S. is concerned Israel is abiding by the rules of war.
We are not evaluating each and every strike they take. We have been in constant communication with the Israelis.
He said the dense urban terrain makes it extremely difficult. And as for the hostages and whether the U.S. believes they are still alive, Kirby said the U.S. has very limited information.
We're doing the best we can to try to ascertain as much information as we can about all the hostages, certainly the Americans that are being held hostage as well.
Hamas is believed to be holding more than 230 captives.
Marine ships are on their way to the region. Here's CBS's David Martin.
It is part of a gathering U.S. military force off the coast of Israel, which already includes one aircraft carrier strike group, with a second expected to arrive later this week.
Martin says the new ships could be used to help evacuate Americans from Israel and Lebanon. Donald Trump has been told again to stop talking about the people involved in his election interference case. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Federal Judge Tanya Chutkan says a criminal defendant's First Amendment rights are not unlimited, and she says that applies to Donald Trump as it does any other criminal defendant. And she focuses on a social media post he made last week in which he said his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, would be a weakling and a coward if he provided unfavorable testimony against Trump. The gag order is reinstated.
Trump says he will appeal. The former president has gotten some good news with the Iowa caucuses less than 3 months away. CBS's Tony DeCopel.
A new Des Moines Register poll showing that former President Trump is still leading the pack there in Iowa and by a wide margin. However, and this is interesting, Nikki Haley now tied with Governor Ron DeSantis with 16% each.
Auto workers are striking the GM plant in Spring Hill, Tennessee. With tentative deals at Ford and Stellantis, GM is the only remaining automaker without a new agreement. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
As the president of the United Auto Workers, Sean Fain, announced a second historic contract with a Detroit automaker within 4 days.
We truly believe that we got every penny possible out of this company. We left nothing on the table.
The union increased pressure on the last remaining holdout, General Motors, with workers from the company's largest North American plant hitting the picket lines Saturday night.
Ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures are up 25, Dow futures nearly 200 up. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Imagine it's the last ride, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are taking you for a ride. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about treating it with Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine what could relief from IBS-C mean for you. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The head of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau is opposed to the Department of Natural Resources' new wolf management plan. Kevin Krentz says the DNR should have specific population goals for wolves. Instead, the DNR is moving to an adjustable population goal, which is the same as for deer and other animals. The Farm Bureau says wolves are killing too many deer and livestock. 4 different hunting seasons in Wisconsin start next month. Gun deer season is the busiest. It starts November 18th. There are also hunting seasons for beaver, mink, muskrat, and otters. The Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters about safety and to make sure they have the proper permits. The DNR is telling non-hunters to be aware that a lot of people will be in and out of the woods in the coming weeks. This is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Better Business Bureau warns scammers are calling and emailing people in Wisconsin and other states claiming to be Spectrum Cable. The caller ID will identify them as Spectrum, and the caller states that you qualify for a discount on your cable bill. But you have to pay for 1 year service up front, and the payment is requested in the form of Target gift cards. They may also ask for personal information. If you receive a call like this, hang up and report it to the police. The city of Marshfield is seeking a historic preservation commissioner. Mayor Lois Teestrake is looking for those interested in serving on the commission. You must be a city resident and have an interest or background in historic preservation. You'll need to submit a letter to the office of the mayor stating your qualifications and the reason you want to serve. Your letter will need to be delivered to City Hall by November 9th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 34. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, lows around 24, overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 23.
Good morning, Wisconsin.
Good morning, world.
It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning.
We're here to have some fun today. We got good things lined up for you, everybody. Going to get into some entertainment news in a little bit. That ain't right story. Some local good stories of the day, which is our feature in that is our Halloween times and events. But yeah, of course, it is a Monday, 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means. Something good.
Welcome to the Kitchens Open here on WFHR. Soup is one of the oldest foods we have in our menu. It's served as an appetizer, main course, beverage during a meal, and dessert. Today we're going to delve into soup, and I mean a deep dive. Perhaps deeper than you wanted to know. I'm even going to tell you about my reoccurring nightmare about soup I had as a kid.
I don't know if our listeners can handle any more of your nightmare stories, Mel. I'm not sure.
Perhaps, but liquid soup. Liquid food. You're going to hear it anyway. And did you catch that? I screwed it up. But anyway, my phrase for tough love, liquid food. Do I patent it or do I hashtag it?
I think both. I think you do both because I love that. I think that's fantastic. So wait. I hear Seth's voice in my head. He said you'd better 86 it. That's garbage.
Well, he would say that. You know, he's just mad we've been picking on candy corn and he's not here to defend it. Anyway, we're going to move on. I was actually delighted to discover that in a year of doing this kitchen segment, we've never covered soup. Broth, yes, but soup, no.
Huh, but soup is the easiest thing to make on the planet.
Well, perhaps for you, but believe it or not, I actually met someone in the not-too-distant past who had never made soup before.
Wait, are you talking about me? I think I've made soup. Wait a minute, have I made soup? Does ramen count?
Probably, but no, I wasn't talking about you.
Good. So are we going to mention our sponsor anytime during this opening? I can hear that you're passionate about the topic of soup, but I want to make sure they're not forgotten here.
Of course. We have to mention the YMCA because they're going to have an amazing opportunity upcoming nutrition segment that includes soup.
Is chili really a soup?
Yes. Mm. Do you eat it with a spoon? Chili counts as a soup.
Okay. I also eat cereal with a spoon.
No. We're not going to entertain that debate right now. Okay, I don't need you derailing the segment this early, James.
Okay. To get things back on track, the Southwood County YMCA is our current sponsor for the Kitchens Open segment. They have a delicious lineup of nutrition classes coming your way, and you'll want to sign up for them in advance.
That's right. Their next Kids in the Kitchen segment is Saturday, November 11th with Cheesy Eggs in a Hole. If you want your Mother's Day done right, I suggest you sign your kids up for this one.
That's a great idea. They also have the next Nutrition 101 class for exploring probiotics on November 20th. It's important to take care of your gut. Probiotics are a great step in self-care.
Now, moving on to soup.
First, you'll want to sign up for the Lunch and Learn on November 29th. They're making turkey grain bowls. Those sound delicious and nutritious. Mm-hmm. But then in December, they'll have hearty beef and kale chili with cornbread on December 20th.
I love anything where I get the soup and then I get to eat the bowl like that. Anything. Sign me up. And sign me up for that one. I love me some cornbread and chili, even if that's not exactly soup.
Well, let's talk about the history of soup and what makes soup a meal then.
All right. First, we should remind listeners to contact the South Oconee YMCA to register for those classes by calling 715-818-9622. That's 715-818-9622. Or you can visit their website at swcymca.org, swcymca.org, as another way to sign up for any of these delicious-sounding nutrition classes.
That's right. Tiana Hamm teaches many of these classes, and you've heard her on our airways a couple of times. She's knowledgeable about all things nutrition and presents information in a fun and easy manner. Now we can get to the soup.
Yay!
According to foodtimeline.org, food historians say the history of soup is probably as old as the history of cooking.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. The earliest evidence of soup dates to the upper Paleotonic period. That's 12,000 to 50,000 years ago. There is some debate on how they heated soup back in the day. Some say that they heated the stones, then added them to water to bring it to a boil. Others say early humans used hides or watertight baskets to boil water.
What we do know is that soup became part of the regular menu for humans somewhere between 5 to 9,000 years ago. Wow. Although, depending on the source you read, there's debate about that too.
It's practically impossible to know for sure. But did you know that the word restaurant comes from soup?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes. Oh, I love these kind of things. Yes, the word restaurant was used in France during the 16th century. It was used to describe a highly concentrated and inexpensive soup sold by street vendors. In French, the word restaurant means something restoring.
Oh, it's French. No wonder I can never spell that word right. I feel vindication about the spelling of the word restaurant.
During the 1760s, a Parisian entrepreneur opened a shop specializing in these kinds of soups. They were advertised as an antidote to physical exhaustion. This is what led to eating establishments being called restaurants in modern times.
That is really fascinating. I didn't know that. But have you heard about pocket soup?
No, other than it you're going to have to go to the dry cleaner afterwards. soup you can put in your pocket. We've established that I have no fashion sense, but that sounds like a horrible idea, Melissa.
Yes. It's not liquid soup, silly. It's a portable soup used by travelers and the military as early as the 16th century. By the 18th and 19th century, it was a common staple. It's the precursor of bouillon cubes. So they cooked meat broth for a long time, like at least 6 to 8 hours, and removed the fat. Then they would reduce it repeatedly until it solidified into a jelly. Then it was dried, wrapped in paper, and it could be kept for up to a year.
Of course. Pocket soup. Captain Cook carried it on his South Seas voyages, and Lewis and Clark brought portable soup on their expedition of the Louisiana Purchase in the early 1800s.
Then with the invention of canning in the 19th century, canned and dried soups became readily available on the market.
Enter the Campbell Soup Company. They produced condensed soup that could be packaged in a smaller can and sold at a lower price. You add an equal amount of water or milk to the canned soup to double its volume. Campbell's tomato soup, first sold in 1897, is still one of the most popular soups in America.
Between tomato, cream of mushroom, and chicken noodle, approximately 2.5 billion bowls of these three soups are consumed each year in the United States. Now, big question. Do you add milk or water to your canned tomato soup?
For me, I have to disqualify myself because I am not a tomato soup guy. But I know my dad is huge on tomato soup, and he mixes it up. Like, he'll have water when he can, but otherwise, I believe he uses milk for the most part. What about you,
really?
Melissa?
Well, my mom always used milk, so that's how I was used to eating it. I got to tell you a little story. There was a period of time where I was helping do, like, in-home care for someone's father-in-law. His name was Andy. And so I was taking care of him, and I'd just sit with him during the day, and I'd make him lunch, and then we'd sit and we'd play gin rummy and, you know, just hang out. Well,
I was supposed to make him tomato soup, and I added milk because that's how my mom always made it. Boy, was he mad.
Oh.
Like, he got mad about it. And let's be, you know, I mean, he had some cognitive, you know, like dementia issues and stuff. So it's understandable that it wasn't made how he liked it. But I'd never really heard of anybody making it with water. So I didn't know. But I made him another bowl or another can of it. And we were all good. But...
Right. I'm glad that things worked out all right.
Yeah, things worked out fine. Nothing got thrown.
With this one, I didn't remember this until you were telling that story, but because my mother and father had to deal with me as a kid and the pickiest eater of all time, they tried a couple of different things, like with mashed potatoes and different things. Oh, try it this way. With tomato soup, I tried it with the water, and then they had me try it with milk. I didn't like it either way, but it was something that they were just trying to say, like, oh, let's throw this at the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah,
because this kid won't eat anything. So.
Well, now let's not forget to mention the dried soup mixes. This is where your ramen comes into the story, James.
Yes, I knew I made soup. I'm practically a chef.
That's right, Chef Jimmy.
Yeah.
Instant noodle soups such as ramen are marketed as a convenient and inexpensive instant meal. You only need hot water or a microwave to make a quick meal. Now, here in the U.S., ramen comes with just a dried powder pack, but in East Asia, they commonly include a pack of dried vegetables to add a little more nutrients.
Nah, who needs vegetables?
Everybody, James.
Oh, yeah. I like some vegetables, actually, especially if they're deep fried.
Who doesn't? I mean, there's a lot of, you know, obsession with fried foods in our country. But not only here. In Japan, they have tempura vegetables, which are really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We
see a lot more on our bar menus, too.
Yes. It does feel like, okay, that's such an interesting topic to me, Melissa, because it seems like we're treating adults like kids in some ways, where we're incorporating we're hiding the vegetables.
Throwing things at the wall.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, okay, how do we get people to eat their vegetables? You know what? We're going to make, from now on, every Bloody Mary we make is going to have like 20 vegetables on top of it.
And a hamburger.
Yeah, and a hamburger. Like, a whole chicken, like just right on top of your Bloody Mary. Mm-hmm. But not just with that, but, you know, you see a lot of the creative food choices that fast food businesses are doing and incorporating vegetables into those. Not the healthiest, obviously, but trying, it seems like.
No, but in a lot of bars now, you can see like deep fried, obviously pickles aren't such a great vegetable, but green beans, mushrooms have been a huge, those were my mom's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, onion rings, of course, cauliflower, even zucchini. I've seen deep fried zucchini on a bar menu.
I've seen that one too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they deep fried Brussels sprouts now, not even with breading, but just straight up deep fried Brussels sprouts. They're really good.
I might try that.
So I had to look up and see if there were any recipes for deep fried soup. And believe it or not, I found one.
No.
Yes.
You did? Awesome.
I did.
You got to share that.
You can deep fry anything.
Huh. Have you seen my recipe for deep fried boot? I swear it's going viral. It is something, Melissa.
You and your deep fried boot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, well, this is a simple recipe for a hearty corn soup that uses onion, celery, carrot, garlic, and of course, corn. So you add a vegetable stock, seasoning, and some heavy cream, thicken it with flour, and then once it's done cooking, spread it out on a pan lined with parchment paper and let it solidify. And with the amount of flour they have in there, it gets really thick. So then you use an ice cream scoop to make balls of soup, freeze them for an hour or until they're solid, and then you dredge them through more flour, whisk egg, and a panko and cornmeal mixture. Fry the soup balls in hot oil for 2 to 3 minutes and let cool on a wire rack, and they make a great appetizer.
Now you're talking a little bit more of my language. Maybe not so much maybe the ramen a little bit, but matzo balls, are pretty big in my family and big in, in Jewish culture.
All right. I've never had one.
They're good. They're good.
But I don't know, soup balls. I just think that's funny.
It's just a fun, like, it's fun to say. It's just one of those kind of food, food things. It's fun to say also.
Well, and then you have your soup course, and they bring out balls of soup.
Right. It's okay. I like the idea of somebody who's never heard of this or had them before, and that them bringing it out to them. That I like that. Because So that's interesting, but we haven't really talked about traditional soups at all. We should eat. Mm-hmm. Should we each share a soup we really enjoy with our audience? Yeah, you and I, Mel. And I do actually want to hear about your recurring childhood nightmare about soup. I really do, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, let's first talk about our favorite soup recipes. Mm-hmm. I'm honestly just, of course, curry soup are kind of my favorite right now because they're usually very creamy with the addition of the coconut milk, and you can puree them. So then they have that all of the flavor, but they're creamy and they're warming with the curry spices in there. They just, I don't know, warm soup that warms you from the inside out without being super spicy.
Yeah.
So I like those, and I like adding squash this time of year because it's, you know, the season for it, or pumpkin. It's also really good.
Yes, that does sound really good.
But I have to tell you, my mom's chili recipe is probably one that's going to get me in trouble with some people because she always made chili with, of course, you know, the beef, ground beef and tomatoes. And she did her own canned tomatoes and stuff, and the mirepoix with the onions and celery and carrots. But my mom always added noodle. Elbow macaroni to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is the that throws people. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So that's always what I thought chili was growing up.
Okay. All right. I love chili, but I hate beans. So my nana making it would always make it for me growing up without beans. And now I can't. I could, like, you could tell me that there's almost beans in it. I'll taste it. I'll find it if there is. That's a big one for me.
A bean in there.
Did get to help make matzah a little bit. We just called it matzah, but matzah ball soup. When I was a kid, got to make it a little bit growing up. And we kind of made it a bit of the traditional, the Ashkenazi kind of way of doing it a little bit. Usually around Passover, that sort of thing. I remember making that a little bit growing up. I did not until I was 29 or 30 when I finally had homemade chicken noodle soup. And look, I love the Campbell's people. I love Campbell's soup. There is nothing like homemade chicken soup. There is nothing like that.
There really isn't. Mm-mm. Even all the different, like, not the condensed soups that Campbell's makes, but the ready-to-eat soups from, like, Progresso, which is the next biggest-selling canned soup, they just don't taste the same.
No.
Because they got to be shelf-stable.
Yeah.
So you don't get as good of a noodle. You don't get as much flavor from the broth. It's just homemade is always better, in my opinion.
Right on.
So my soup nightmare as a kid, and I don't know why. So picture a factory underground.
Okay.
With a river of soup going through it.
Okay.
Because this is a soup factory, but it's in a cave. And there's like this pathway that you have to walk through it. Okay. Now, do you remember those the creatures that Ursula on The Little Mermaid turned the mer people into?
Yeah, yeah.
That were like stuck to the walls in her home, and they all like.
Yes.
Okay, picture a giant one of those in the river of soup.
Oh no.
with the arms and reaching for you as you're trying to walk over. That was my reoccurring soup nightmare. And that thing in the river had a bowl of soup and was just like, I don't know, eating it. It always freaked me out. And it was a reoccurring nightmare, too.
I think you just gave it to us. I think you just gave that nightmare to us. Like, that's going to be our recurring nightmare. Like, when you first mentioned this, I'll be honest with the audience, looking behind the curtain a little bit, I pre-read this last night and everything, and I'm thinking about it, and I can't wait for this part of the segment. And I'm thinking, well, is it some kind of like Willy Wonka version of soup? Like Willy Wonka, but everything's, it's not candy, it's soups. Like I didn't know where you were going with this. I could not be more happy. Or I also feel for you, though. I also feel for you. But,
as a child, that was terrifying.
Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like it would be.
Well, I think it's time we closed out this segment. Thank you for joining us today on The Kitchen's Open, where it's always an adventure. Mm-hmm. We want to thank the Southwood County YMCA for sponsoring this segment.
Call to find out information about their classes, memberships, nutrition programs, personal training, or anything else that they have going on. The number is 715-818-9622. That's 715-818-9622.
And be sure to sign up for their nutrition programs and find out how to make delicious soups and many other foods. They're the experts. We're just radio folks with appetites.
Or you can always stop in and visit the Y. They're located at 601 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
You can also find out information on their website at swcymca.org. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Oh, that was a great one, Melissa. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Nice work right there.
Thanks.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Tell me something good.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Let's face it, we're all on the go. Go to work, school, sports, appointments, family gatherings, you name it. Get on the road hassle-free with A Street Auto. With a wide range of inventory, financing options, and excellent customer service, you'll be on the go in no time. Their friendly and knowledgeable staff is ready to help you find a car you deserve, priced to fit your budget. Shop their virtual showroom at 8thStreetAuto.com. Then stop by for a test drive.
Go, go, go to 8th Street Auto.
If you're looking to get in the spirit of Halloween, look no further than the Trading Post in Wisconsin Rapids. They have quality goods at affordable prices with items changing daily. Get decked out for the season at the Trading Post, the store you can get lost in.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 34. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, lows around 24, overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 23.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great day out there. And thank you again to Melissa for kicking off our 9 o'clock hour on Mondays with the Kitchens Open. Be sure to join us every Monday in that 9 o'clock hour for the Kitchens Open segment. Looking forward to that again next week. And a shout out to our friends at the Southwood County YMCA.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you.
We lost a couple of great actors over the weekend, Melissa. It might have been lost in the shuffle with the big name that we lost, but Richard Mole passed away over the weekend. Fantastic, wonderful character actor. Did a lot of voice work as well in his later career, doing the voices of Harvey Dent and Two-Face on DC shows like the Batman animated series and things like that. Had a great role in the made-for-TV movie The Jericho Mile, one of my favorite movies as a kid growing up. I watched that movie with my dad over and over again, almost every weekend. And my first, I'd say my first two favorite shows he was on. He was on Welcome Back, Kotter. I had a bit role on there, but famously and probably most well known for being the bailiff on Night Court.
Night Court, yeah.
6'8" and all 6 feet and 8 inches of him, nothing but a sweet, sweet, sweet human being. The amount of people pouring out and talking about him and referencing his great work, it's a shame to lose these people, and at the same time there's a melancholy sweetness to it of, oh, this person we never really appreciated, we're going to appreciate now, we're going to let everybody know how darn talented they were.
Yeah, well, and he was 80.
Yeah, yeah.
Which takes some of the sting out of it, I think, when it's a full long life.
And it has a bit of an opposite effect with the other person we would lose the very next day in Matthew Perry. Matthew Perry passed away Saturday morning, only 54. Details are sketchy, and to be honest, they're not our business. I will never understand people's obsessions with understanding how somebody they have no idea who they never met and got to know how they passed away. This TMZ part of our culture is sickening to me and childish and one of the lamest things I can think of. I'm not a big Matthew Perry fan. I never watched one episode of Friends. But
how did you avoid that?
I somehow. I do think that we you know, he deserved respect. I do think that anybody that passes, certainly he gave enough of himself to the public eye. I think that doesn't mean that we get TMZ and these companies get to make money off of his death like they do. No. And all we do is help them. Like everybody complaining about feeding Jeff Bezos more money or the Walmart company and these things. And I'm with you on that stuff. But how about we do it with entertainment too? Like who's keeping National Enquirer around? Who's keeping these companies around and everything? Who's feeding these people? Let's put them out of business. They're making money off of other people's misery. Like that, mm-hmm. that shouldn't be something that we're helping have happen. Matthew returned home from a two-hour round of pickleball and sent his assistant on an errand. When the assistant returned 2 hours later, they found Matthew passed away in his hot tub. 911 was called. It was too late. There's going to be a test done on this, and they're going to find out what the exact cause was. And honestly, when they do, that's your guys' business to look up. That you want to look that up, that's important to you, you go ahead and find it. You ain't going to hear that information from me. I don't care. Mm. Do I care about him and his family? Do I care about the loss and all that? Certainly, sure. Do I think that we can bring attention to these things if it was drug-related or something like that? Certainly. But, at the same time, all it is just, hype to talk about, something, edgy and scary and stuff because they don't want to do any actual real reporting or real work.
His family deserves some time to deal with this on their own without having everybody all up in their business. It's really not any of our business.
In addition,
will we eventually know? Yeah.
Yeah.
But is it that? I don't know. It's not sensational news, in my opinion.
In addition to Friends, Matthew appeared in several hit movies. Fools Rush In. He was really, really, really good in The Whole Nine Yards. That's the one. Now, I never saw him on Friends, but I saw him on that. It's a Bruce Willis movie, and he was fantastic on it. He was so good in it. I thought he was absolutely perfect. Him and Bruce Willis worked really good together. I thought he was very, very, very funny. His last credit was the 2017 miniseries The Kennedys After Camelot. As of last night, none of the five main Friends cast members have commented on his passing, and I don't think they have to. I mean, if they want to, they certainly are welcome to, and I'm sure we as a society are going to be interested in what they have to say, but I think it's understandable that they haven't. What I would like to touch on is something that Matthew said in the interview. In a podcast interview last year, Matthew had this to say, and I'm just going to go ahead and play this for everybody.
The best thing about me, bar none, is if somebody comes up to me and says, I can't stop drinking, can you help me? I can say yes and follow up and do it. That's the best thing. And I've said this for a long time, when I die, I don't want Friends to be the first thing that's mentioned. I want that to be the first thing that's mentioned. And I'm going to live the rest of my life proving that.
So I hope that that's a big part of his legacy, defeating that. And whether it was a part of his passing or not is, again, none of our business. But it wouldn't take away from the fact of that being hopefully the thing that he is most remembered for.
Yeah.
And it is a Monday, everybody, and we know what that means around here. The Kitchen's Open segment at 9 o'clock, like I told you.
We did that already.
Yeah, we did. It's Muppet Monday. It's a Muppet Monday, everybody.
It's Muppet.
Yes. Get on over to wherever you get your podcasts and download, take a listen to What the Muppet. We had a new episode premiere just a little while ago. You can go to YouTube and check it out as well. And this is a special episode, everybody. Really, really, really encourage you to check this one out. A couple of months back, we had another podcast, a very well-established podcast called Puppet Masters of None. It's a wonderful podcast run by two great individuals who are actual puppeteers. Couple of guys who went to school for it for many years, were in the industry for a couple of decades and are retired now, and kind of give you an inside behind the curtain look of muppeting, puppeteering, and a lot of that. They invited us onto their podcast and we had a great time with them. Bria and I were on there, and it's a fun episode. That is the episode that is premiering today. Crossover episode with Puppet Masters of None. Go ahead and check that out. And a shout out to Bria Hoyt and the fantastic job that she does week in and week out with this pod. Appreciate your work, Bri.
Awesome.
Speaking of podcasts, be sure to check out afternoon today, sometime this afternoon, civicmedia.us/shows, where you can check out all of our original content, all of our shows. They're all podcasted there for you. And we had a very, very special guest this weekend on Director's Cut. Kyler Cuzio joined us.
Yeah,
we had a fun. Had such a good time with Kyler. It was a really, really good show.
She's so talented.
She is. She's something. We had a blast with Kyler. We encourage you to check that out. Again, go to civicmedia.us/shows and go ahead and download the podcast and spread the word about the show.
And Melissa, we were doing this. We got to do this over on Wisconsin 105.5 WIRI Sunrise Show today. We're going to do it right now. It felt so good. We had such a good response. We have coming up on November 2nd to our wonderful town, the Gatlin Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
The legends themselves. Some of the best harmonies you will ever hear. The Gatlin Brothers coming to Wisconsin Rapids, and you can go for free, everybody.
Hey, hey.
Call up right now, 715-424-2600. Tell us one of your favorite Gatlin Brothers songs, and you'll get to go for free.
Yeah, and that's Thursday, right? The 2nd?
Yep, this Thursday. Get these tickets.
November 2nd.
And you'll be able to go ahead and check out the Gatlin Brothers for free this Thursday right here in Wisconsin Rapids at the Performing Arts Center. We say a big thank you to our friend Sally Kistner from the Arts Council getting us these tickets. Thank you, Sally. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thanks, Sally.
Get your tickets at SavorTheArts.com. SavorTheArts.com. Support local. Support local arts. And do that. One of the best ways to do that is going to SavorTheArts.com.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more fun on the morning show after Melissa's news right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
For WFHR and WIRI
News. For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Senator Ron Johnson and Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan both say they'd back a continuing resolution to keep the government open and funded through April. Lawmakers are racing to avoid another government shutdown by November 17th. Both lawmakers were guests on Upfront on WISN-TV in Milwaukee yesterday. The U.S. House returns to work this week after electing new Speaker Mike Johnson. A state task force is looking at ways to use artificial intelligence to help Wisconsin workers and businesses. Officials with the State Workforce Development Agency and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation share their insights with the governor's AI task force today. Governor Evers says he wants the group to come up with recommendations for the short term and the long run. This is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services celebrates the 25th anniversary of aging and disability resource centers across the state. ADRC services help people conserve their personal resources, maintain self-sufficiency, and help find resources in their community. Our ADRC of Central Wisconsin in Wood County was formed in 2006. Known as the ADRC-CW, it serves Marathon, Wood, Langland, and Lincoln counties. The Mid-State Technical College campus in Marshfield is hosting a month of giveaways during November. Mid-State On Central is using the event to highlight its business and leadership programs, showcase customized training opportunities, and celebrate Veterans Day. Community members can stop in to vote for their favorite local businesses. The first 25 people to visit Mid-State On Central in November will receive a voucher for a turkey from Festival Foods. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's that time of year where things go bump in the night. Ghosts and ghouls and goblins are spotted roaming the foggy late-night landscape, preparing for Halloween. Coming soon, there will be tricks and treats, costumes and fun. But remember, there's only one thing more scary and disturbing than vampires, witches, or even clowns. The most frightening thing of all, an old, rickety, dark and dirty porta-potty. Don't let the thought of a porta potty frighten you. Crockett Septic has a huge inventory of porta potties available for events, parties, and promotions, and they're always clean and comfortable. Stay away from those nasty porta coffins and call Crockett Septic for a porta potty experience that won't scare the well, you know, out of you. From Rome to Rudolph in Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point and Plover, Crockett Septic can handle your porta-potty needs, holding tanks and septic pumping too. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle Wireless.
Bug Tussle,
we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Here are the trick-or-treating hours in communities throughout central Wisconsin on Tuesday, October 31st.
In Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Nakusa, Port Edwards, and Buren, 5 to 7 p.m. In Rudolph, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. In Pittsville, 4 to 7 p.m. In Vesper, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. There will also be games and a movie at the Community Center in Vesper. Here's wishing everyone a safe and fun Halloween.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 34. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, lows around 24, overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 23.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
Scariest song ever. Scariest maybe singer ever. Screaming Jay Hawkins. He might be. I mean, Alice Cooper, Alice Cooper walks on stage and people think he's pretty freaky. Then Screaming Jay Hawkins is like, hey, let me hold my beer. Like, and ever been anybody like him? Mm-hmm. We got to get into this one, Melissa. This might be kind of scary to people as well. There's an article making the rounds that claims you should be washing your hair with beer.
With beer? Okay.
The claim is the malt, hops, and iron in it make your hair softer, shinier, and healthier overall. Okay. But does it work? So we're going to get into if it works or not in a second. But what I love is the idea of how somebody would even figure this out. Like, you drink it in the shower and you accidentally pour the beer in your hair.
There's always shower beer, yeah.
You accidentally pour it on your hair because you're celebrating your team's big win. And you, oh, wait a minute. Well, this
because you also have a TV in your shower.
Yes, yes, yes. and you, oh, wow, this actually works really good. How about that? The site healthline.com says there's no specific evidence to back it up, but a writer for Thrillist actually tried it and said it did make a difference.
Huh.
Some experts say it might end up damaging your hair instead because the alcohol could strip away your natural oils.
Mm-hmm.
For that reason, some people say non-alcoholic beer works best. But, I mean, who's buying non-alcoholic beer? I mean, come on. I'm joking. But if you do want to try it, here's what people suggest. Open a beer and let it go flat. You don't want the carbon dioxide in the bubbles. It creates hard water, which isn't good for your hair.
Okay.
Wash and condition your hair like normal. The beer is just an extra step. But I don't know what part. So would you put the beer in first and then wash and condition your hair or
no,
do it last?
It sounds like a rinse. Like you do it as a rinse at the end after you wash and dry. But then your hair smells like beer.
Right. That's why I thought you'd do it at first, because then, you know, maybe the shampoo and conditioner puts a better smell in there. Who wants to walk around with beer smelling hair?
Yeah, ooh, not me.
Boy, is that a Colt 45 I smell? Oh, that smells so good. What is that? That Miller Lite? Is that MGD I smell in yours? It smells great.
Oh,
like,
goodness.
Nobody has ever said that in human history. Like, wash it. Okay, so massage it into your scalp and leave it in for a few minutes. No one agrees on how long, anywhere from 3 to 15 minutes, and then rinse it out.
Wow.
One stylist had a different approach. They said just fill a spray bottle with flat beer, spritz your hair with it, and don't wash it out. They claim it's better as like a leave-in conditioner. The downside is, again, you smell like a frat party.
Smell like beer. And there's really nothing worse than the smell of stale beer.
No, it's one of the worst smells ever. Nobody has ever said, you know, oh God, I love the smell of stale beer in the morning. Nobody has ever said that in history. Like, that's, I don't know about this one. Have we completely run out of ideas of how to soften our hair? Don't we have enough things to where we don't need this?
There's just always going to be something else to try. And then, okay, but if you look this up, you're going to find a whole gamut of beer, shampoo, and hair conditioners now. It's just another product line that you can buy that has the things in it that beer has that are supposed to be good for you, but in a shampoo and conditioner. That's not just actually cracking open a beer.
I feel like, granted, I know that there's a lot of them out there and it's hard to choose sometimes, but I feel like there's definitely like a better, conditioner out there for you. Like, just keep looking, everybody. Just keep looking, because there's bound to be a better one than this.
There is. I actually spent a whole, I don't know, maybe I did it for 2 years, I want to say, where I was doing the no poo hair care routine, which is no shampoo.
Oh. So
you wash it with baking soda.
Mm.
So you make like a baking soda rinse with water and you use that as your shampoo. And then you wash that out and use a vinegar rinse as your conditioner. So the downside of that one is that your hair smells like vinegar. Which is slightly better than beer, but yeah, and it wasn't like overpowering. Mm-hmm. And it was it worked. It helped me transition from overusing shampoo to using the right amount of shampoo. Because if you use too much shampoo, it does strip the natural oils out of your hair. Like people who wash their hair every single day, they can't go for a day without washing because their natural oils go crazy in their hair.
Weird. Oh, see, now that I didn't know that part. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But if you, if you use less and less shampoo, it stops stripping your natural oils out and then your scalp is healthier.
Hmm.
At least that's what I found for me. I can go for, 3-4 days without washing my hair and it doesn't get oily.
Interesting.
Whereas it used to when I washed every single day.
Right. Hmm. I found that very helpful. Thank you. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. We'll take a break. We're coming back with a fun That Ain't Right story for everybody. It's coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Guess what? You asked for it and you got it. The oldest furnace contest is back. Tri-City Services is giving away a free furnace to the winner of the oldest furnace contest. Whoever has the oldest working furnace in the Wisconsin Rapids area will win a free furnace. Yes, a free furnace. What are the rules, you ask? Well, entrants must own and reside in their home in the Wisconsin Rapids area. The furnace must be functional and the main heat source for your house. Pretty easy. So take a picture of that old dinosaur furnace and enter online at calltricity.com. Contest ends November 30th, so hurry. Enter your dinosaur furnace in the oldest furnace contest at Tri-City Services. Restrictions apply. Enter online at calltricity.com before November 30th.
You're not comfortable until you are at Tri-City Services.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Mainly sunny skies this afternoon with a high of 34. West winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, 24, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 25.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great day. Wrapping up the show, taking it to the top of the hour. Thanks for kicking off your Monday with us, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I got a different That Ain't Right story for everyone right now. I have a list here of the professions most likely to cheat at work.
This is not right.
No. We've spent the past 3 years debating remote work, but there's one angle that hasn't come up. Working from home makes it harder to cheat.
Okay.
A new survey has found that 43% of workers admit to having, whether it is cheating like on their job or cheating on their significant other at work. 25% of them said it happens in the workplace, another half other in other places, but essentially this is not right. And it's kind of like one of those articles too that not only brings attention to the subject, I think, but also just shows how lazy human beings are. Like even with matters of the heart. Like it for a long time when they talked about this subject, it was, well, men cheat, you know, with somebody who's close. Like, are they close? That's what the part that matters. Women, it's more about the heart. Whereas they're finding statistically that it's actually kind of pretty similar. Men, women, they're going to cheat. They're not going to do it with somebody who's like a state or two away. It tends to be closer. And then thus, you know, of course, we're close to where we work. So these things come up. But the industries that where this happens the most is where it got a little more interesting, I think. And that ain't right. Part of it, like the IT industry, it happens a lot. Apparently, accountants and banking and finance, property and construction, transport and logistics, healthcare. Another one, teachers, huh? That one surprised me a little bit, I'll be honest, because I don't know the teachers have the time. I don't know. Like, I don't know if they have the time for that. And the number one industry this happens in the most in sales. Least shocking answer I think we've ever had. I'm not calling out sales or anything like that about it. I just think that it's kind of funny. It feels like that would be the one. Now, what about
all of this is That Ain't Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all That Ain't Right. And none of it's necessarily funny. Just, you know, right. Given the circumstances. What about the profession least likely to cheat? Least likely. Retail. Public service. Interesting here. Marketing, advertising, and PR.
Okay.
Environmental and agriculture. Law and legal industries, creative arts and design, law enforcement and security, business consulting and management, and the number one industry least likely to fool around, whether it's cheating on your significant other or cheating on your job or anything like that, science and pharmaceuticals.
So is this just saying something about the type of people that go into these different professions? Because I don't know, I've always had the philosophy of cheaters cheat.
Yeah, you know what I think it what it says to me, and you know, take the data as you do, anybody and everything, because this is just opinion; it's not data based. Exactly what you just said, Melissa. But there's no connection with necessarily any of these industries. There's no common theme that you can see or anything, because cheaters are going to cheat. I mean, no matter what the job they have, no matter what the industry, they're going to be, if they're that type of person, they ain't right. They're going to do it.
But if you're in a profession like public service or environment, you obviously care about others and you care about the environment and those around you. I mean, I could see that as not being the personality type that would cheat on their spouse.
Yeah.
Perhaps. I mean, I guess some things you could extrapolate from this, but actually not a whole lot.
And
how many people are honest about it too?
Yes, that's the other part of this survey that kind of like had me, because I'm curious. Even if it's a blind survey, I'm a little curious of how many people actually would have filled it out honestly. So I don't know.
Well, because you always wonder about that. I mean, we have so many things that track our data now that we don't have any control over.
I am by no means a saint, but I just think that there's certain things, you know, there's no need for, you know, you don't have to cheat on people. Just end it and move on. You know, right. It ain't that hard. That ain't right. That whole article ain't right. It's a weird article. Weird article. There's certain articles where I picture sometimes the person writing it or doing the data. And with that one, I got to imagine that at some point, like halfway through it, they were kind of like, what are we doing? I mean, I guess we've already put all this work into it.
Why are we doing this article? Okay, well, let's just finish it.
Yeah, I might as well finish it, I guess. But what are we doing? Whose idea?
Get it off
this?
My desk.
Yeah. Need a palate cleanser.
Yes, please.
And my favorite Halloween does that. My favorite holiday, I was going to say, but I guess that was a little low.
My favorite Halloween holiday.
It works.
This one.
It works. Yeah. I love Halloween. And that certainly always is a palate cleanser for me. And a great event going on today, Monday Movies at McMillan Library, showcasing Disney's Hocus Pocus.
Well, it'd have to be Halloween themed, and that's a great one.
Yeah, from 6 to 7:40, McMillan Library Fine Arts Center. A teenage boy, Max, and his little sister move to Salem, where he struggles to fit in before awakening a trio of diabolical witches that were, you got Bette Midler. I mean, it's Bette Midler. Right. That's all I got to say is Bette Midler.
Yes, and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah. It's a good kid.
And who's the third one?
I got to be honest. I always forget she was in that. So my sister loved that movie. I never really saw it, but my sister used to have it on all the time, and I always forget that Sarah Jessica Parker was in it. It doesn't, for some reason, she doesn't look like Sarah Jessica Parker to me in that. And I don't know if it's the makeup or what exactly it is, but I always forget. Yeah, she's in that. It's got a good cast.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, family fun trick or treat at McMillan Library as well, from 4 to 7:30. Don't forget to stop by the library for some trick-or-treating. Come in costume. Staff at the desk will be equipped with candy and prizes to give out throughout the trick-or-treating hours.
Mm-hmm.
And what about those trick-or-treating hours? Let's touch on those. We got those for our neck of the woods. From 5 to 7 in Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Nakusa, Port Edwards, and Buren, kids are going to be trick-or-treating.
Yeah, so be careful when you're driving.
Yep. 4:30 to 6:30 in Rudolph, keep an eye out. 4 to 7 in Pittsville, keep an eye out. And Vesper trick-or-treat hours are 4:30 to 6:30. There will be games and a movie at the community center during that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate everybody that got us all these events and times throughout the Halloween season. Thank you so much for getting us these.
And Plover is 5 to 8.
Thank you, Melissa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plover 5 to 8. So keep that in mind, everybody, as well. And I would say from 5 to 7, or I'm sorry, from 4 to 7 o'clock tomorrow, no matter where you are in the state, no matter where you are in the country, keep an eye out for monsters, vampires, mummies, Barbies, Paw Patrol. I mean, every one of them.
And miniatures of all of those.
Yes.
Because they're short.
Yes, they're kids little
short
people.
And they're you want to watch out for them.
It's called trick-or-treating. It's Halloween. There's supposed to be some jump scares and some fun. Let's not make this any scarier than it has to be, though. Let's make sure the kids can enjoy Halloween, have fun with Halloween, be safe out there.
Because they don't always remember to look both ways before crossing the street.
Yeah. If you are a household that doesn't want to have, anything to do with the event, have your light off. You know, it always helps so kids aren't, wasting any time stopping at your house and knocking on your door.
Knocking on doors.
You got a limited time to get so much candy, okay? Don't waste these kids' time. And I'll be handing out candy tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
I miss trick-or-treating, but I do kind of enjoy getting to just sit there and all these kids just come to me.
Well,
and
you get to see a lot more costumes.
Yeah, it is pretty fun. It is. It is kind of cool.
Well, my boyfriend saw a really cute one when he got his hair cut this week, and I have to tell you the story. It was so cute. He was dressed in normal clothes, and he had some handcuffs attached to his belt. And he said, "I'm an undercover cop." And he had like this spill on his pants. He's like, "This is coffee because cops drink coffee, and I'm an undercover cop." And his mom's like, "It's actually hot chocolate." And the little boy's, "Mom, I'm an undercover cop. It's coffee. Cops drink coffee."
Oh, that's
the cutest thing.
That is good. I want to wrap up with this one right here. Another good story. That's a great story, though. A foster kid in Florida named Roman finally got adopted this month, just hours before he turned 18.
Oh, wow.
He said, quote, "It means I have someone to go to. It means if I need someone to talk to, I have people to talk to now." His foster parents wanted to make it official before he aged out of the system. They've now adopted 7 kids and 2 more biological children.
Oh, wow. Good on them.
It's a beautiful story right there. Yeah. And a shout out to that couple that adopted that young man. And to all the people out there in the adoption industry, in the adoption world, whether you are helping people connect with these children or you are one of those families adopting out there, I cannot wrap my brain or heart around something so magnificent. I appreciate and respect every single person in that industry. That is a beautiful story right there. Stick around, everybody. We got good radio coming up for you here at Civic. And a little bit later today from 3 to 4, join us from Playmakers.
Yeah, you can talk sports those of you who like it.
Yeah, Melissa and I will be... No, I'm kidding. Randy Paul will be in with
ping
us.
Ping pong. We're talking ping pong. Yeah, my favorite sport.
Ooh, actually, I'd do that with you. I'd do that show. That's coming up. That show's in the future, everybody. For today, Randy Paul and I will be talking local and statewide sports on Playmakers. Join